Amen. You hear me, Brother Billy?
Yeah.
All right. Amen. I tell you what, it's been a long time since I've stood up here behind this pulpit, and I am nervous. I don't know why, because I have stood behind a lot of pulpits and preached and everything, but this church here has a lot of memories. A lot of memories. And a lot of wonderful things have transpired here in this church. I was thinking this afternoon that I rededicated my life to the Lord here at this altar. Me and Mabel were married here in this church many years ago. And I did my son and his wife's wedding here in this church, and just a lot of wonderful memories, amen. And I was talking to Brother Billy back there a while ago, and I've been thinking, and I was talking to somebody the other day about when Brother Billy used to be the Sunday school teacher up here. I sat under his teaching for a long time, and I'm very thankful for Brother Billy back there. I'm thankful he can be here tonight, and I'm really thankful, Brother Billy. You've made a lot of great memories on my life, and I'm thankful for you. You've helped me a lot, and I'm very, very thankful. Very thankful. And thankful for this church. I tell you what, I'm also thankful for our pastor. We got a wonderful pastor, hadn't we? I'm very, very thankful for Brother Isaac. I tell you what, I'm so thankful that he'll stand up and preach the Word of God like it needs to be preached, and he takes a stand for God and everything, and that's what's needed in our world today, amen. And I'm thankful for each one of you out there that's here tonight, and you're just like family to me and Sister Mabel, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, this church has always been home, and I'm so thankful. Would you turn with me tonight for a few minutes to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the things I've been talking about tonight is the subject of my message tonight. Memories and remembering. Back before I resigned the church at Stillwell because of health problems and everything, I was thinking about the word remember. And one of my last messages I preached up there at East Park, I talked about remembering a lot of things as I get older. I don't know if anybody else is like that or not, but it seems like the older I get, the more I think about the past and things that happened a long time ago, you know. And I have a lot of wonderful, wonderful memories, you know. But one of my greatest and most cherished memories is my dear, sweet, godly grandmother that practically raised me many, many years ago when I was just a little feller in Nicutt, Oklahoma. I know just about everybody here knows where that's at, the big city of Nicutt. But when I was raised up there, there wasn't that many houses up there. Wasn't that many people up there. And even the deputy sheriffs and high patrol never came up there. Deputy sheriff wouldn't come up there that much. But a lot of good memories. And I remember my grandmother and me walking through the field behind her house. And there was a good three-quarters of a mile through that field to the church. And we walked through that field on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night going to church. And she saw to it that I was raised in a Missionary Baptist church, praise God. And I was saved at Coptic Missionary Baptist Church. And I was baptized in old Muddy Creek up there at what used to be called Nicutt Car Wash. I don't know what it's called now. But I remember when I was baptized there were some Indian girls out there washing their car. And they stopped and joined in the singing and everything, joined in the service. And I met with my pastor, Brother Peyton, put me under. I opened my mouth for some strange reason. I don't remember why. But I opened my mouth, and I always tell everybody since then, I probably swallowed a few minners. But those were good times, and I am so thankful that my grandmother saw to it that I was raised and in church, and she taught me the Bible and everything, and I believe that because I have that, or had that godly foundation in my life, it was helpful for me being where I'm at today, and I'm so thankful. And I believe that's why it's so important that we as parents raise our children in church and teach them right and set that godly example before them. Teach them what they need to know. Because if we don't, the world's going to. Amen? The world's going to. If you look with me here in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and I've titled this message, Remembering. I want to read some scripture here. The Apostle Paul, in talking to the Corinthian church, he said, "Moreover, brethren, children of God, I declare unto you the gospel, or the word of God, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand." You know, that's the only way we can stand, amen, against the devil and his workers and the wickedness and everything in the world today is because of the power of God's word, amen. I was thinking this afternoon that after Jesus was baptized and went into the wilderness, and after a certain period of time, he was tempted by the devil. And every time the devil tried to tempt him and get him to do something, what did he do? He shared the Word of God with him, didn't he? I remember when I used to work at Lowe's, and I would get distraught and discouraged because of things on the job. I would start singing old gospel songs that I could remember back then. I can't remember them too well now, but I could remember back then. And I would start singing them because they gave me such encouragement. And that's the way God's Word does. And then he says, "By which also you're saved." Now look at this. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Now, some of you may think, you know, you have to memorize the Word of God to be saved. But that's not actually what that's saying. I remember one time when I was pastoring church up there at East Park, and I was teaching a Wednesday night Bible study. And I always like to have a lot of input when I'm teaching. I like to have a lot of discussion and things, you know, when I'm teaching or a lesson or anything. And nobody would say anything. So I used this scripture. I said, you know, if you memorize the Word of God, you'll be saved and be able to get into heaven. Boy, I got a lot of comeback after I said that. A lot of comments after that. But you know what he's talking about? To which also you're saved, or you have that powerful victory when you're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? You have that powerful victory. What is our salvation as a child of God? It's victory, isn't it? When Jesus was on the cross there at Calvary, and he looked down upon those people that said, "Crucify him, crucify him, kill him." And the Roman soldiers that were gambling for his clothes at the foot of the cross. And Jesus looked down and he said, "Father, forgive them." They don't realize what they're doing. They didn't. But when Jesus endured everything there on the cross, and then he finally said, it is finished. It's complete. And he yielded up the ghost. He won the victory for us who will put our faith and trust in him. Amen? He is our victory. I love that old song, Victory in Jesus. Because we as children of God, we have that victory. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear anymore. We don't have to be afraid. Because of the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ and through His Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's a great memory that we can use every time the devil tries to do something to us. We can say, back off. I'm a child of the King. I've been bought with a price. I'm sealed by the blood, like Brother Steve was talking about in the Sunday school lesson this morning. I'm sealed by the blood. I'm washed by the blood. My name is written. My name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life there in heaven with the blood of God's only begotten Son. Praise God. And Paul said, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. The Word of God. The power of God. Amen? That's what we're proclaiming tonight, is the power of God. His Word. Amen? That's what Brother Isaac proclaims every time he stands up here. The power of God. Which also I have received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part of them remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. Some are in the grave. But praise God, we have that power today through His Word. Paul challenges the Corinthians to stand for the gospel, or stand for the Word of God, to hold fast that Word. The Word of God should have priority in everything in our lives. Amen? That should be the most important thing in our lives, is to stand for the Word of God, because He died for us. He died there on that cross. He came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to leave an example for us today. Amen? He came to do great things for humanity. So many times I think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I just am amazed sometimes how God could love us so much. How He could have so much concern about us. And even as those, like I said a while ago, that crucified Jesus and drove those nails in His hands and feet, or in His wrist and His feet. And had so much hatred for Jesus. But yet He looked down and He said, Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't understand. And it's like our world today. I was looking at the scriptures this morning. talking about we live in such a perverse and messed up society. Amen? I mean, it's scary anymore. Amen? I mean, you go out here and you go to town, you might not make it home. You might get shot. You know, it's a scary thing. But praise God. We have a God that's in control. Amen? You know, as a child of God and as a minister, I love to study the Old Testament. I love to look back and read those things that happened back in the Old Testament in history. Amen? They're an encouragement to me. When I look back and see the things that God did for the Jews, children of Israel, however you want to entitle them, whatever you want to call them. But they were God's people. Amen? I love to hear Brother Tommy a lot of times when he's called on to pray, he prays for the children of Israel. We should, because we turn our backs on them, we're in trouble. Amen? But many times I think about them and their life, things they did. And if you'll turn back with me to the book of Exodus, I want to look at some things back there. Book of Exodus. And let's see, let's go back to turn with me to Exodus chapter 7 and kind of give you a little background, but we all know how God called Moses from the burning bush to go and lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And first of all, he said he couldn't do it, like I did when God called me to preach. I said, God, you got to be kidding. But I'd been doing it for a long, long time, praise God, by His grace and His power. And that's the way Moses did what he did, amen? But Moses here in chapter 7 and on through the book of Exodus, and like was brought out this morning, did a great service for God, amen? And I want to look here in these verses here in chapter 7 of Exodus, beginning with verse 10. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh like they were told to by God. And they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Remember that? Cast down that rod, and there before all those high and mighty individuals, if you will, and it became a big old serpent, big old snake. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate snakes. I don't care what kind of snake it is. If I see a snake, I'm going the other direction. I don't care if it's a grass snake or what it is. I don't like them. I'm going the other way. I mean, I'm scared of them. Spiders, but snakes, I'm gone. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in the manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. There's your power of God. Amen. Can you just picture that in your mind? Here, this rod, he throwed it down, it became a serpent. These magicians, wise men, said, we can do that. So they throw dirt down, they become serpents. But Aaron's rod, God's rod, swallowed up theirs. Devoured theirs. Took care of theirs. Amen? And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. But Aaron had to reach down and grab that serpent by the tail, and it became a rod again. I don't know if I could do that. I was thinking about, I don't know if I could do that as bad as I heard, hate snakes, you know. But we find all the way through Exodus, God did a lot of things to try to get Pharaoh to let the people go. Amen. He brought many, many plagues upon Egypt and also upon the children of Israel. They suffered. I think about the scripture we find in the New Testament. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen. But God brought a lot of things. But what got their attention? What finally got them set free? The firstborn. When the firstborn died, that got Pharaoh's attention, didn't it? And he finally let the people go. And Moses led them out and told them that God was going to give them the promised land. Amen. A land flowing with milk and honey. A wonderful place. Amen. The promised land. God has a promised land for us too, doesn't he? If we just believe in him, trust him, obey him, do what he wants us to do, be faithful to him. Just like the song tonight. Look for me at Jesus' feet. I want to be there at Jesus' feet. Worshiping him and thanking him. But we know as they traveled, like Brother Joe brought out this morning, Moses was supposed to spoke to the rock. He smote the rock. Well, they got the water, but he didn't get to go into the promised land because he disobeyed. He disobeyed. And I've often thought about the many thousands of people back in the Old Testament that perished, that died. It's in there. If you go back and read that Old Testament. You know, I remember one time I was teaching class, and we was talking about, I had a discussion going, and I was talking about how bloody the Old Testament is. If you go back and study it out, it's bloody. Because people would not obey God. They kept rebelling and rebelling and rebelling. After everything they saw in Egypt, you know, I've thought about that so many times. They saw the power of God firsthand. Amen? I mean, they were eyewitnesses. They saw all these plagues. They saw the firstborn perish. And then on their journey, look at the many things they saw there. And one, I get a laugh out of a lot of people that I talk to about it. Remember when they came to the Red Sea? Moses stood up there and he said, "Stand still," because all are griping and complaining. "Oh, God's brought us out here to die, out here to perish." And old Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." Again, what was he saying? Stand still and see the power of God. Amen. The deliverance of God. Oh, they were scared to death. We'd been better off stayed back there in Egypt. But no, God had a plan. Just like today, God's got a plan. He's got it all laid out, and it's all going to work out. God was trying to prepare His people for the promised land. They wouldn't listen. They just rebelled, they griped, they complained. But God parted the water. They walked through on dry ground. Amen. So many people say, no, it was muddy, it was this, it was that. No, the Bible says they walked through on dry ground. I believe that when they walked through, there was dust flying off their feet. Because there were so many of them going through there. And a lot of times when I'm talking about that and telling people about that, I said, you know, I wouldn't doubt. We don't find it in the Scriptures. But I wouldn't doubt them passing through that sea, through that ocean. And they could look over and see catfish on each side. You know, I've often wondered, you know. Hey, it was water. Amen. It was ocean. There could have been. Amen. But I've thought about that so many times. But they walked through on dry ground. God took care of them. But they kept rebelling and rebelling. And they even came to the promised land. And they said, no, we can't do it. Two said they could. Rest up. No, we can't do it. God said, I'll give you this land. I'll run them out. Run your enemies out. They said, no, we can't do it. We can't. So they wandered and they wandered and they wandered and they wandered around. The older ones died off. The younger ones went in. And then they didn't obey God. They didn't listen. They intermarried. Instead of being obedient to God, they intermarried. They started worshiping idols, doing things God wasn't pleased with. And it's just on and on and on and on and on. Just like it is today. People don't listen. God says, I love you. I want to bless you. I want to provide for you. I want a relationship with you. And people say, no. No. But folks, listen to me. Jesus is coming back. Amen. He's coming back to this old world one day. Just like those songs tonight. He's coming back. The rapture's going to come. Those who are ready have been washed in the blood. Your name's written by the blood there in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can pray, Father, or we can pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We're ready. We're ready. But what about those out here that aren't ready? They keep saying no, no, no. I remember so many times being out on visitation talking to people. And they wouldn't listen. They're so attached to this old world. So attached to the riches of this world, the material things of this world. But the Word of God says heaven and earth will pass away. This old earth is going to melt away with a fervent heat this time, amen. Not with water like in the days of Noah and the ark, but it's going to be a fervent heat. It's going to be a fire. Amen. God is going to do some purifying. Amen. He's going to clean it up. I remember what He told His disciples there on the Mount of Olives. Old Peter looked out there and he was showing him all the buildings of Jerusalem. Said, boy, look at that. Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, yeah, but there's coming a time when there'll not be one stone left on top of another. God's going to tear some playhouses down. And it's coming, folks, and we need to be ready. We need to be watching. And the only way we can be ready, if we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all He wants, is us trusting. Put our faith and trust in Him. I remember one time I was studying my Bible, and I was looking over in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter in the Bible. Had some scripture there, looking really back at the heroes of the faith, as I call them, in chapter 11. And I was looking at the word faith over in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn over there with me just for a minute. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The substance of things hoped for. We look for heaven, amen. We look for our eternal home. And God has given us the evidence here in His Word. But I was thinking about faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith activates in the heart. F-A-I-T-H. Faith activates in the heart. Amen? And then when faith activates in the heart, and we trust in Jesus and what He did for us, then that, our faith, activates God's grace. You know what God's grace is? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. When faith activates in the heart and we trust Jesus, then our faith activates God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches. And what God's number one riches is? His love. If you look over there in your Bibles, at the fruit of the Spirit, what's the number one thing? Love. Love. Because God so loved the world that He sent Jesus to love us. To love us. You know, we quote John 3:16, but what about 17? He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Amen. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. I want to close with that tonight as our song leaders come. Pianist, we prepare for invitation tonight. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises that He's given us in the Word of God, as some men count slackness. But He's long-suffering. What does that mean? He's patient. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should be saved and become His children. I was thinking this morning, in the service this morning, talking about, I think it was Brother Steve brought out about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And the Bible says that we're bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. That we're part of the, you know, His family. The Bible says we cry, Abba, Father. You know, we can look to God and say, Daddy. That's what an intimate relationship we have, a close relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. We can look up and say, Daddy. We can say, Daddy. Isn't that wonderful? To have a daddy that's with us 24/7, 365 days a year. Amen. He's there. When nobody else is, God's there. Praise God. And all we have to do is put our faith and trust in Him. Let that faith activate in the heart, which activates God's great riches. Amen. His grace. And I've always looked at grace as God's love gift. God's love gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's all stand. What number?